Welcome to episode 475 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Guideline number 7, respect the family and our parts in family life. Respect marriage as being the place for a sexual relationship. Respect our own bodies and those of others. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. If our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, as Paul establishes in 1 Corinthians 6, our body should be clear of sexual impurities. In the New Testament, the word most often translated sexual immorality is porneia. This word is also translated as prostitution, fornication, and idolatry. It means a surrendering of sexual purity, and it's primarily used to describe premarital or extramarital sexual relations. From this Greek word, we get the English word pornography, stemming from the concept of selling off. Sexual immorality is the selling off of sexual purity and involves any type of sexual expression outside the boundaries of a biblically defined marriage relationship. The seventh commandment is found in Exodus 20, verse 14. It says this, "You shall not commit adultery." God's reasons for instituting this commandment are twofold. First, God established the institution of marriage as being between one man and one woman. We find this in Genesis 2, verse 24, and then reiterated by Jesus in Matthew 19, verse 5, and parallel passages. God created marriage to be the building block of his creation and of society. Even after the fall, marriage is still a sacred union and the foundation for society. In marriage, the full expression of the image of God is made manifest as a man and the woman complement and complete each other. The Bible also teaches that marriage is the vehicle through which God designed the procreation of the human race and the preservation of godly offspring. With such a premium placed on marriage, it's no wonder God would seek to protect this union from defilement and thus prohibit adultery, which is the violation of the sacred marriage union. The second reason for the commandment is found in Leviticus 18 verses 1 to 5. As God's chosen people, the Israelites were to reflect God's character in the promised land. God commanded his people to be holy, for he is holy, and part of holy living is sexual purity. God did not want his people imitating the behavior of the Egyptians from whom he delivered them, nor did God want his people copying the behavior of the people into whose land he was bringing them. The implication was that sexual sins, including adultery, were commonplace in the lands where the Israelites had been and to which they were going. As with all of the Ten Commandments, for each of these ten guidelines, there are do's and don'ts. There are things we need to avoid and things we ought to embrace. There are negative and positive aspects of each commandment. The negative part of the commandment is self-explanatory. Do not commit adultery. However, there is more to this command than a simple avoidance of extramarital relationships. One can make the argument that wrapped up in this prohibition are all sorts of sexual sin. Incest, fornication, prostitution, etc. And that argument can be made on the basis of chapters such as Leviticus 18. Also important is avoiding things that would lead or tempt one to consider adultery, such as the unnecessary withholding of conjugal rights. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, made further clarification of this command by including all kinds of lustful thoughts. Fantasizing about having sexual relations with someone is the same in God's eyes as actually committing adultery. Therefore, we must avoid all things that would create within us lustful thoughts. This includes suggestive songs, sensuous movies, pornography, etc. The positive part of the command would entail doing the opposite of what the command prohibits. Chastity in body, mind, words, and action. Keeping watch over what we take in with our eyes and other senses. An attitude of temperance and self-control. Being discerning over the company we keep. Being careful about how we dress and fulfilling our marriage vows in regards to sexual relations and cohabitation. Regarding sexual sin, the Apostle Paul said, "Flee from sexual immorality. every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. When it comes to sexual sin, the best course of action is to remove ourselves from temptation and avoid such situations altogether. Adultery is the complete corruption of God's good creation of marriage. Through the sin of adultery, Satan tempts us to seek sexual fulfillment in avenues other than the one God has ordained, within the bounds of monogamous marriage. Adultery rips at the fabric of society because it tears apart marriages and families, which are the building blocks of society. God's law in general, and the seventh commandment in particular, is held up as the standard for Christian behavior. When God performed the first marriage in the Garden of Eden, he created an institution which is designed to spiritually, emotionally, and physically unite a man and woman in a covenantal relationship between themselves and their Creator. Marriage is a covenant relationship. Throughout the history of mankind, God has dealt with his people within the context of covenant relationships, each covenant carrying with it a sign. The marriage covenant also has a sign, which is sexual union. Therefore, any sexual activity outside of marriage claims covenant privileges without covenant commitment and cannot fulfill the purpose for which it was created. While God gave Adam and Eve instructions to go forth and multiply, procreation was never the only purpose for sex. The sexual experience is not pleasurable by accident. God intended that sexual union also provide intimacy, companionship, and trust. Modern neuroscientific research demonstrates that sex triggers the release of neurochemicals, which stimulate physical changes in the brain, which enable couples not only to experience intense pleasure, but also to bond. We are called to sexual purity, which may be defined as using the members of our body the way God intended. This includes our minds, eyes, hands, mouths, and sex organs. Paul states, "Each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." Sexual purity has often been confused with sexual abstinence, but they're not the same thing. The goal for Christians is not just to remain virgins until marriage. Abstinence may be a byproduct of purity, but purity involves much more. The Bible makes it clear that purity is a matter of the mind. Jesus said, "Whoever looks at a woman to lust for her, he has committed adultery already with her in his heart." It is possible to be both abstinent and sexually impure at the same time. It is also possible to be married, having physical sex with only one spouse, and be sexually impure. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 21, "I fear that when I come again, my God may humble me before you, and I may have to mourn over many of those who sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual immorality, and sensuality that they have practiced." Everything Paul did for the Corinthian Christians, he did to build them up in the Lord. Every letter he wrote, every visit he made, every prayer he prayed was with one goal, to build up the Corinthian Christians in Christ. His heart was for them, not for himself. He admonished them for their worldly behavior. He pointed out that they needed to refrain from sexually impure and immoral thoughts and actions. And he was hoping that on his third trip, he would not find those who had previously sinned in these areas continuing in these sins. Sex is God's precious gift to married couples. If we keep the fire in the fireplace, we will not burn down the house. Father, help us to be pure in thought, words, and actions. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.